Thank you so much for coming back to the Anne Romaine Show. I am so excited that you are here with me because I have a show for you today. I have brought my friend John to come on the program, and we talk about a plethora of things. We talk about COVID and the things behind COVID. We talk about the election dating back to 92 with Clinton and Bush, and we talk about America First Step. We talk about FTX. We talk about China. There is so much that we talk about. So it's going to be a part one and two. So I hope you will stay tuned to both days. Hey, I am always bringing more information to Telegram. So join my Telegram channel at The Amber May Show. You can also find me at True Social at Amber May, Frank Social at Amber May. But I always carry on more conversation. You're going to get more content there. So join me on Telegram or one of those platforms. And please become an angel investor or consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com and click the donate button and donate $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you'd like to donate. And that helps me support this program. We are not backed by Big Pharma, so that would be such a blessing to me. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber as well there. So I am so excited to be partnering with you and having the show. So up next, we are talking about so many different topics. I hope you really enjoy today's episode. You said about Candace Owens and what he said about being part of intelligence, because that's, I think, 100% true. Because look at what he was involved with in Maxwell's. He was involved with intelligence. He was involved with everything.
Was.
So there's two articles about one had to do with the child trafficking with JP Morgan, the Virgin Islands. And then I'm reading this one about FTX, and his name pops up in both articles. Coincidence.
His name pops up with Bill Gates's wife when she's divorcing him. His name pops up with Bill Clinton, obviously. I do believe, I haven't seen the document log on the Hillary Clinton side, but there's also supposedly multiple trips by her to the island. And so when you assess the situation, right, when you assess what these guys are doing, and you try to figure out who's at the top of it, many people have blamed the Clintons. Right, especially with Jeffrey Epstein. But I feel like that if we're looking for the cause of the problem, I feel like that may not be it, because the Clintons were made president by whoever is running this operation, right? And the situation that caught my eye was 1992 election, which was where Ross Perot exposed, prior to running for office, exposed the drug running in Arkansas.
Speaking of Arkansas, the FTX article that I came across. Okay, so this guy, Sang Hang, owned, he was actually a smuggler for gold. And maybe it wasn't him. Sang Hang. He was, I'm trying to keep track of who he was. Sang Hang. Oh, he was a bank controller. He controlled some banks, and he sold one of the banks to an Arkansas political kingmaker, Jackson Stevens. And I believe this guy was connected with Bill Clinton. If he was the Arkansas political kingmaker, Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas.
Right. So when I'm telling you right there, just hold, table that for a second. I'm telling you, Ross Perot was exposing the drug running in Arkansas before he ran for the 1992 election. The movie American Made is all about the drug running. The book American Made is all about Ross Perot exposing that drug running and his interactions with the CIA when he started to expose it. He was calling it out to the president, saying he could prove the CIA was running drugs in Arkansas. and he got a visit from a CIA agent said that was sent to neutralize him. So Perot ends up running for office, and this is very key here. Perot, in 1992, is exposing something that we're dealing with right now, which is NAFTA, right? If you go back and listen to Perot talk about what he used his platform for was how NAFTA was going to suck all the giant sucking sound, the jobs are going to go to China. Now, I lived in Cleveland at the time in the Midwest, and I watched it all just evaporate right around me when I was in high school. I didn't realize what was going on, but he was right. And we have to really look at that election, because the mainstream media attacked two candidates right up front when there was no Democrat candidate. They created a void by attacking Bush and attacking Perot. Now, Bush knew he wasn't going to win. He couldn't win because Perot was going to pull too many votes from only the Republicans. The Democrat candidate was going to win that election. So it's my thesis that Bush used a media attack on himself, because if he attacks just Perot, it's going to raise Perot up. So you attack yourself, you attack Perot, and it isn't about the drug running. It's about NAFTA. He can't let Perot get any clout and show people what NAFTA will do to this country. And the reason for that is if you listen to George Bush speak back between 88 and 92, George Bush Sr., he references, I think it's total of 200 times or right about the New World Order, which is the terminology being used by the World Economic Forum and its associates right now. Mm-hmm. Right? So what you have right there is the base case for taking down the United States, which was NAFTA, which was what Perot was talking about and trying to expose.
And now, also, let's also put into this whole thing, he was also the head of what? Intelligence, yes, CIA.
So he was the head of intelligence, I believe, 76 to 78, and then vice president, 80 to 88, which many people forget. First couple months, and you can make of this what you want, the first couple months, Reagan is shot. So people don't realize, they think Bush just had 4 years in office. Bush really had the 8 years before that, the 4 years in office he had. And do you know who ran against George Bush Sr. for president in 1988?
The guy who had one hand that worked.
It's Michael Dukakis.
Oh, okay, I was wrong.
I believe it was Dukakis.
I thought it was this guy that he only had one hand that worked, and he always had a pen in his hand. Can't think of his name.
We can fact check it and make sure. I believe it was Dukakis, but the reason nobody remembers is because it wasn't supposed to be him. Mm. It was supposed to be a gentleman that was the leader of the Democrat Party at the time, pretty much the number one opponent to George Bush in the 88 election. He was pretty much a shoo-in. And then they caught him on like 60 Minutes or a TV show of that caliber. They said, hey, we believe you're lying about your family history, about your wife, about your lineage, about all these things that he quoted these famous people from. He took their videos, their quotes, and he made them his own with almost no change. So they could put those quotes on TV and put him next to these people saying the same thing. And that was Joe Biden. And he dropped out of the election because they burned him in front of everybody on TV.
Oh, I thought you were asking me about Bush running.
No, I was talking about Joe Biden. I was asking about Bush, right? Okay. Because this is 1988, right? Mm-hmm. And Sorry, this is 1988 in this scenario. The reason that I bring this up is because George Bush grenaded, well, I believe he had Joe Biden grenade the Democrat Party and basically give him a walk against his opponent in 1988. So you're watching puppets. You're watching a puppet master and puppets, right? Mm-hmm. When Joe Biden, later on, he puts out a slew of scare tactics as far as like the turning our schools into jungles, the 5-year minimum crack sentence, which is ironic with Hunter, and these people look like they're in control and doing this. But mm-hmm. my assertion from what I found over the years, it's very likely that they were being controlled by one man or a group of people that mm-hmm. were in the shadows. And what it looks like George Bush Sr. may have done in 1992 is take a dip into the shadow. So when he has himself attacked and when he has Perot attacked, he creates a void for the 1992 election. I met a gentleman that told me he was at Bill Clinton's rally in 1991, probably 92, whenever he became the Democrat candidate, because he came in late out of nowhere. They called him the dark horse. They labeled him and started the marketing campaign, right? They had already destroyed Perot. They were in the process of destroying Bush's credibility, creating a void, which is what we do in other countries. And then we enter in the candidate that we want, that we control. And when you're looking at how this plays out, people that were there, the guy said, he asked me, actually, Trump had pulled like 40 or 50,000 people the night before at some rally in the middle of nowhere. And he's like, how many people do you think were at Clinton's rally the week before he won in his own home state? And I said, 3,000, because I didn't think, you know, rallies were that popular, but he seemed like a pretty popular guy. He told me there wasn't 100 people there. He was one of maybe 75 people, and that he was a grifter and a nobody. And this is from an account from a person that says they were there. We have to take, the guy has no reason to lie to me. He had just met me, and there's no reason to facilitate any kind of story. And he's like, I watched them make Bill Clinton in 3 weeks.
This guy's telling you he saw them make Bill Clinton in 3 weeks.
He saw him make Clinton 3 weeks on TV. What he did is he watched it. You go back, and if you go back, and people, when I talk to people who were in their 30s and 40s at this time, and Jim especially, you know, people that paid attention to politics, they're like, yeah, he came out of nowhere. The Arsenio Hall show playing the saxophone, the hot dog eating contest, the baby kissing thing. And then I have the opportunity to meet a gentleman who put on one of the debates for the Republican side, the young Republicans at one of the colleges. And he said to me, when he was there putting on the debate, that Bush Sr. snuffed him and didn't even talk to him. That Ross Perot looked like he had been in a fight and was just beat up. And he said that, not physically, but, you know, just like worn down emotionally is what he was describing. And then he said that Clinton came up and talked to him for 20 minutes and told him he couldn't wait to work with him in the future. And he said he was enamored by the guy. He said he sold him, you know, he didn't change to Democrat, but he was like, I was pretty impressed. He's like, I thought we were finally going to work with both sides. So when you own both sides of the aisle and you got both sides think you're working together, you're controlling everybody, even though you already have them divided and conquered. And
you just said backed up what Patrick Byrne told me on my program, that it was already pre-planned who was going to be the president. You know, you had Bush, and then you had Clinton, and then you had Bush, and it was supposed to be Clinton again. And so, or no, it was Obama, and then it was supposed to be Clinton.
Really quick, before you get any further. Last week, I have a couple with me, and we're talking about Epstein and this whole kind of thing. And this young lady, probably in her 50s, goes off, and she said that Bush Jr. was less than intelligent. I'll just paraphrase what she said. She goes, Jeb Bush is the smart one. And I said, how do you figure? And she goes, well, my husband was in a meeting, and you watch, so I saw her husband's eyes light up. He did not really want to be involved in that conversation with Karl Rove and Jeb Bush in 1991, where they told them that George Bush Jr. would be the president, and they were going to start the marketing campaign, move him to Texas, and create the illusion that the Bushes were from Texas.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented fill adjusts your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my premium queen for only $27.98. or my Premium King, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Which is what most people think. They're actually, I believe, from Massachusetts.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And so, like, listen, this is, there's, you're like, there is a schedule. There's a pre-programmed thing that's going all the way up. And so to ensure that there's not a problem, right, when you have somebody like Obama, who's he run against? He runs against John McCain, somebody else they owned. Or he runs against a John Kerry, somebody else they owned. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if he loses for whatever reason, because they still own the other candidate. You know, Mitt Romney or any of these guys, right? I mean, look at these, the people over the top of the political spectrum for the ultimate positions of power, speakers of the House, mm-hmm. the Senate, majority and minority leaders, right? All these people are generally owned assets for years, and they control and dictate the way things go. You know, many people don't know that Nancy Pelosi's father is a gentleman named Thomas D'Alessandro, who was being investigated by Kennedy for running front for the Lucky Luciano, the mafia, and the CIA when Kennedy was assassinated. There's all these facts out there that again, we talked in the very beginning about having the answer and being able to tell people that this is the answer. But the problem is not being able to show them the steps. So now that I'm coming to a point in my kind of journey where I'm able to show people the steps, they're having a lot harder time, you know, disengaging or just blowing things off. And as things get exposed and as more people go down, I mean, 1,500 to 2,000 CEOs have retired since Trump became president.
Now, even Kash Patel on my show said, we took a big win, he thinks it was a big win. When they exposed Russiagate, all of a sudden, all these people and heads of department no longer are working there. And to me, that's a big win. So I don't know what exposure. I'm asking our state legislator in Arizona to start on both houses to start an investigation. If Congress can do it in the House of Representatives, there's no reason why we can't. And if we can keep exposing things, then maybe heads of state or state department leaders will step down. And if we keep having that step down, then there's that void and someone's going to fill it. Perhaps a good person's going to fill it. Now, I did you complete your thought with the election in 92? Because you were saying how Bush was going to throw himself because he already knew Bill Clinton was going to win.
Right. And then in the end, who is Jeffrey Epstein's number one customer?
Bill Clinton. I don't know.
And what family's never mentioned in the same breath with Jeffrey Epstein?
Bill, I don't know. Bill Clinton?
The Bushes. Okay. I've never really seen anything that ties the Bushes to Epstein at all. And the interesting thing about, if you just, you know, if you look at it from 30,000 feet, you have over here Epstein being exposed as an intelligence asset who used to be the head of the CIA.
Bush.
Right. So, I mean, it's the perfect thing to make the play in the background. You know, many people think, and some people don't like to touch on 9/11 too much, but many people think that man, I would say a majority of the population actually thinks that George Bush Sr. was puppeting his son. Him and Dick Cheney were. That he was really the acting president, and that his son was just a figurehead. That is a very popular view from many people, Democrat and Republican. And a lot of times that's why people voted for Bush Jr. Because, hey, you figure if you're voting for Rand Paul, you're getting a piece of Ron Paul, right?
Right, exactly.
And
he was Reagan's VP. You know, to me, when I was voting for Bush, you know, for one, he was the conservative candidate. I didn't know all this back stuff about his family. I'm thinking, oh, he's a good Christian man. His dad was the president, and he was the vice president under, you know, Reagan, and everybody loved President Reagan. But then when you start peeling back the onion about the corruption in the United States, and then Donald Trump was the anomaly. That's why I'm telling people, you know, yes, our elections are captured, but you never know when you're going to have an anomaly year, and you could possibly win with an anomaly like we saw in 2016. I fully expected Carrie Lake to lose this last race. I just expected it. I wanted her to win. I think she's the better candidate, and technically she probably did, but I expected the loss to happen because look what
happened. There are many people in Arizona that are business owners and educated conservatives, and they had, as I talked to several of them, because I kind of pull this out myself with people I know that were Republicans that did not understand how John McCain kept winning over and over again.
I had the same question.
But in the media, John McCain was the war hero in a Republican state, so nobody questioned it, really.
Right.
You were kind of looked at kind of odd if you were going to question McCain. He had a perfect story. He had a perfect mm-hmm. background to be a guy that you really just couldn't question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then when you look at Flake and Flake's association with Miller, who got busted for trafficking women, women and selling their babies, it was the things that are crazy that don't get any play almost at all in the media.
Right.
The question of voter fraud is there's a lot of people think that there's not, and there's a lot of people that think that there is, and I think there's a lot of people that are in denial about voter fraud. You can go back and watch several videos on the old Diebold system about they could swing the votes 8% each way, a 16% swing, which Perot pulled more than. Which I really believe is the reason why you had the Smartmatic and Dominion system put in, which I believe, if you follow the steps, I believe the Smartmatic and Dominion system parent company is Diebold.
Mm.
So it's you know, it's just changing names. It's creating fronts. The same thing that Soros does with all of these NGOs, right? They keep his name a degree of separation away. The interesting thing about it is that this system isn't just in this country. It's over.
Everywhere.
Right.
We just saw it play out in Brazil. Mm-hmm. We know it played out in Venezuela. I mean, these are things that we know that have already happened. And Canada, yeah.
So, you know, when we look at this, and I think that you might, if you tracked it down, if you really did your research and were able to find out, I think that you'll find a lot of the World Economic Forum ran areas, especially in Europe, are under the tutelage of this voting system. And, you know, it in general, you can keep the population divided to conquer them. You only got to get like a 55% swing or something like that, you know. But if you get yourself an extra, I think they ran, Wisconsin had a voting machine that got 50 votes. They ran through each tabulated votes for each candidate A and candidate B, and it came back 62.5 to 37.5. There's 50 votes. They came back fractional on top of it too, because each vote was not changed, but each vote was valued different on who you voted for. Candidate A's vote was worth like 1.125, and candidate B's vote was worth 0.875. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing how there's many layers of voter fraud too.
Well, look what just happened in Arizona with Pinal County. They just found out a lady was bought off with $25,000 to hide votes mm-hmm. for the Republican candidate. That just came out. So people are getting bought off at all levels, you know, so it's not just the machines, it's death by a thousand counts.
We want to see this. We want this exposure. I'm going to throw something out here that's going to be a little bit crazy, but I believe they lost the 2020 election on purpose. And I believe that because you had to expose the voter fraud. And what do you have? What do you have with Mike Lindell? What do you have with the 2000 Mules movie, right? I mean, you have some pretty good information there. And then did anybody find it extremely interesting that almost all the voter fraud that was caught physically at all the voting booths was caught on camera from above? It's all surveillance video, right? It was all set up to show you that the voter fraud was there. Now, you're gonna have a lot of Republicans voting and that vote are going to be screaming that, you know, that they were cheated. And you're going to have a lot of Democrats saying, oh, quit crying. And if it was the other way around, you'd have the same flip, right? Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about it is that I think we could all come together and say that we need a new voting system. That definitely needs to change, right? However it is, whether it's a paper ballot that gets fed into a USPS thing that goes into a blockchain voting system where the people are able to be verified, right? And an open source decentralized platform and people can watch votes come in, so you can't have 400,000 votes in one district that are eligible and get 600,000 votes. It won't work. And the USPS has a patent for this. They got in February of 2000. So in my mind, I hope, and I'm hoping, you know, when you see things happen, then you just kind of gradually go back and look to the steps on why we're here and break it down. But I think we're here because I think that if Trump won in 2020, then in 2024, they would bring two own candidates in that they don't have, that they don't have any control over. And then, you know, if you don't fix the voting problem, they eventually get everything back to the way it was before.
Well, that's exactly what they're trying to do. And the only play they had left was to cheat in the 2022 election. And that was their only play left.
I agree. And if you are a chess player, right? If you're a chess player, what are you trying to do? You're trying to control your opponent's moves all the way to the end of the game, right? You've already dictated what you wanted them to do. There is probably a higher risk or a less risk probability of things that you can do. And I think that they wanted them to put Joe Biden as the candidate. Donald Trump said he wanted Joe Biden to be his opponent, right? Why would you want Joe Biden to be your opponent? Well, I mean, that laptop's already out there. I mean,
diary, supposedly by his daughter.
Right. So if you have all these things out there, you can control the person that goes into office if they go into office. Right. If you have that laptop, if you have that videos, if you have the blackmail on them, just like everybody else was controlled against you when you were in office. Right. And it's for a different reason. You know, now they're not controlling you by blackmail, but they control all the people around you with blackmail. Mm-hmm. No, you control the guy at the head with the blackmail. And that's kind of what I think is going on. I mean, Hunter Biden's being pretty well exposed. It's being documented. Even the mainstream media is talking about it now. You know, the stuff on there is devastating. I haven't watched some of the very, very bad stuff, but people I know have. There's things I won't watch because of my children.
I can't. And
the rules in the United States. So back in 2020 during the campaign, Trump was asked with a pretty interesting response about why he retweeted the tweet that said Trump 2020, Trump 2022, Trump 2024, Trump 2028, Trump 2032. And all his answer was it sounds like a good idea. So when I said that, here it is, Trump, it's all about Trump in 2022, right? Then it's going to be all about Trump and maybe DeSantis or DeSantis in 2024. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Trump's going to be there in 2024. I don't know if it's going to be him or DeSantis. I don't know how they're going to play this. My ultimate theory on all these guys is that this is a bigger operation than Trump. Trump is a figurehead for a big operation to take apart all the things that we're talking about. Because if it was just Trump, he would be gone already. There's not There's not a one-man operation that can do this. You know, Kennedy tried to do it. Look what happened to him.
You know, they keep going after Trump like crazy. So he's obviously a threat to the cabal, to the deep state, to whatever you want to call them, because they keep trying to go after him, and he keeps winning. I honestly think God's hand is upon the man just as protection. I mean, not saying anything more than that. Just I think God had a purpose and a plan for him, and he fulfilled that by exposing a lot of corruption, sex trafficking, all kinds of stuff. And I think God's hand of protection is upon that man. So no matter what they try.
10,000 kids out of child trafficking rings during their 4 years, and almost no coverage at all. You had to be watching local media on all the stuff. I'm tied into a lot of those through Facebook with a lot of local people in these areas. And they just shoot all of them. So I got them all. And like whenever like a local media coverage would come up, they never made it mainstream. Even like 180 kids out of Georgia, Atlanta, I think it was, that nothing even made it to the mainstream. It's amazing. Some people are starting to cover it, like Daily Wire starting to cover some of that stuff, and that's good. But it needs to get, we all know, again, if you're on the Daily Wire covering that, you're in an echo chamber, because we already know what's going on. It's great to see that things are progressing, but it's not getting to the people that need to see it to understand that it's real. And, but a lot of these people that don't want to look at that, they're on the right. They just don't want to look at it. They just want to look away. They don't want to believe it happens. They need to wake up. And that's something that, you know, we have to, we're adults. And if we're going to protect our kids and our citizens, we need to be willing to take a look at what's going on and try and stop that. And these guys are doing it. They're achieving it. But I also, like I said, I believe that this is a bigger operation than Trump. There's a lot of help behind Trump. When I went to the Trump rally, I sat in the front row with me, a couple Pakistani kids that were super awesome. They were doctors. They came from work, and they still had their scrubs on, or the scrubs with the white doctor coats and stuff like that. There was a Latino business guy that was all decked out in a suit and hat and all hair, whatever. He was fired up. And it was weird being right in the front. There was a whole bunch of people of different nationalities. Behind us, it was mostly white people, not going to lie. Conservative white people, that's what it was. But in the front, up where the action was, where people were really fighting, they were really passionate about this movement, it was a good mix of people. And it doesn't have to be Trump, right? It's not the end of the world if it isn't Trump. I mean, I like it to be Trump. I actually think that we're going into a situation right now where we're going to see the fall of the economy. I think Biden is there for that reason, as a patsy, to be the fall of the economy. I think Trump comes back in and sweeps it up and basically runs a clean up bankruptcy operation. That's what I think he does.
I hope that would be a great thing. I mean, I would love to see that happen. I mean, it's just your hypothesis. You don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't know for sure. It's just
sure like the idea.
But you know, there's something about the people you interview, right? The Cash Patels and some of these other guys that you're talking to. There's a level of calmness with them, I believe, mm-hmm. where everybody else is a little nervous. And I think we all need to look at that level of calmness to know that these guys are in far more control than they're letting on. And I think that Joe Biden will be exposed. I think that Bill Clinton will be exposed eventually. I think the Bushes and the situations for them will be exposed eventually. But I think, you know, when you say they keep attacking Trump, and they do, right? That's the perception that's going on right now. I think Trump wants every one of those attacks. I think he wants every single impeachment that he got. I think he wanted it all to happen. Because if you notice, every time he's impeached or every time he's attacked for something that somebody else did. Right? Something that somebody's guilty of, like the Ukraine collusion, Russia collusion, tax fraud. I mean, if you put the president of the United States and the former president of the United States on stage for these things, and he comes up clean, and then later on, the rest of the people are brought on stage for the crimes that they committed. You can't say that you're doing it because of a political agenda. you've set a precedent, right? So there's no reason not to investigate Clinton. There's no reason not to investigate
Biden. Because they've all set a precedent with going after Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he wants all this stuff. To me, it looks like an entrapment play. I think they fell for the scam, to be honest with you. You know, impeaching him for this stuff and things that Pelosi is guilty of. And in the end, the problem with where we're at right now is that we have two groups of people here in let's say the, I don't know what you want to call us. The
country, in the country.
Well, not I'm talking about on the, more of the conservative leaning side, more people that wanted to free the country that want to
solve. I call it America First.
Well, America First. Do you know who America First is?
Tell me who America First is. I feel like I'm America First, but go in and tell us what America First is.
America First is a group of military admirals and generals, I believe, that was formed initially back by Kennedy. And the thesis on this is that a lot of guys joined America First after 1995, when they originally had Clinton dead to rights for selling secrets to China.
I remember him selling secrets to China.
And then
get in trouble. And Hillary Clinton had stuff on her computer, didn't get in trouble.
Right. All of a sudden, nobody's paying attention to that. They're paying attention to Monica Lewinsky in that situation. Mm-hmm. Not to keep a PC on your podcast here. Mm-hmm. And it was a deflection, right? Mm-hmm. The guys that were taking him out supposedly suffered a plane crash that is undocumented. That's just... that's hearsay. That is a conspiracy theory. On the same day as the Oklahoma City bombing. But what isn't hearsay and what you can document and look is after that time frame, a lot of people joined the America First group because they retired as admirals and generals, and some people were in NSA and all these different parts. And when I look at like all of how this is going down, you know, you wonder, these guys, have they been playing this for years and decades? Have they been accumulating information on these guys? Are they exposing this? And it's a drip, drip, drip thing. You can't just come out every day with Jeffrey Epstein, child trafficking, you know, the money from 9/11. You can't put it all out in front of everybody's head, right? You gotta kind of let them kind of wade into the water in a pretty deep pool, or else they're going to freak out because it's ice cold water and it's going to be shocking. And I think it's slow rolling. I think they're in control. I think I think a lot of times that things that are happening that seem absurd are happening on purpose. You know, and here in Phoenix, when you look at Taiwan Semiconductor,
right? Yes, and Joe Biden came out for that.
Yeah, but whose deal was that?
Wasn't it Donald Trump's deal?
Donald Trump's deal, yep. And Joe Biden came out to announce the second plant. He came out, they announced they were making a second plant today. He was going out to tour the place.
He didn't go to the border, but he went to the chip manufacturing company.
I know. Like,
just want to choke him. It's like, come on.
But listen, you have to think about this. The mainstream media is following this. They're covering this. They're showing you that we're evolving to be independent of the need of Taiwan, right? If we're making the chips here, why do we need Taiwan, right? Why do we need to protect Taiwan when China comes in to take them? Because it's going to happen. They're very, very, very aggressively, quiet way, saying that not that they're going to take China, that China is going to take Taiwan. They're past that conversation. The conversation they're having is how can we assimilate them in the least way causing the least conflict. So they're not even talking about if, they're just talking about when and how now. So, and when you look at something like that, for me, when I view this, I look at how fast Taiwan Semiconductor came up. We live right up the street from it. Me and my son used to sit on the 303 on the top of the car and just watch all the concrete pouring trucks and all the cranes and all the bulldozers go. You know, he's 3 years old. He loved it. But these guys built this thing in like 18 months. Mm-hmm. It was insane. You just don't see an operation, a 24-hour-a-day operation like that out here in Phoenix. I mean, they had like 25 cranes there, and they're still going. There's two freeway exits for sure. One off the 17, one off the Carefree, and it looks like they're building two off the 303 into this place.
Wow.
So when I talked to some of my other customers that have been around, I did meet a guy that's working on the project at a higher level, and he said their plan is to make six chip fabs there. We got the one going in Buckeye and Samsung, and another one going in Chandler and Intel, right? So we're making these things here. And I think what's going to happen is when TSMC is up and running and ready to roll and we're making chips in the United States again, I think what you're going to end up seeing is China's going to take Taiwan and we're not going to do anything.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are on The Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you.
The information provided in this commentary is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. It should not be considered a solicitation to buy or an offer or sell a security. It does not take into account any investor's particular investment objectives, strategies, tax status, or investment horizons. You should contact your attorney or tax advisor. The views expressed in this commentary are subject to change based on market and other conditions. This commentary may contain certain statements that may be deemed forward-looking statements. Please note that any such statements are not guaranteed of any future performance or actual results, or development may differ materially from those projected. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
I mean, there's going to be rhetoric. There's going to be a...
Well, time out right there, what you just said. Well, even if, like, right now with the people in charge, they are partnering with China, they wouldn't get involved anyways.
Do you know Biden actually has sanctioned China more than Trump?
Which is weird. I don't understand that, because he has very close ties to China.
Who's in control? That's the question. And I always ask myself when I see stuff like that. Who's in control? When I see this, there's a gentleman named Jim Rickards. I'm afraid of Jim Rickards. He's a pretty big investment guy. And he says, we're not going to be trading with China by 2025. And he doesn't give you the reason that I'm going to give you. But my opinion on it is that when we become independent on some of these things and we're making them in the U.S., that we don't need Taiwan anymore, that will be the point at which China makes their move, where we will, you know, maybe move military forces around, maybe threaten the conflict, but we'll definitely just sanction them, right? Sanction, just like Russia. And I think what it's going to do is it's going to end the trade relationship with us and China. And I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to reshore a lot of our jobs. And we're going to have to make things here, and we're going to have to make them in the most technologically advanced way to be able to support our country.
But that doesn't make sense to me. When you go back to NAFTA and stuff like that, it destroyed the manufacturing in mm-hmm. America and went straight to China. So right now the bad people are in charge, so I'm just not following your...
How do you know the bad people are in charge?
Well,
what I'm saying is what is
projected to us, okay, mm-hmm. are in charge. The Democrats are in charge. Now, the other side, like what you're saying, I can't say that definitively on my show and say, hey, there's facts and there's this and that. And I know some of these people. Like, I met Eric Trump. I met Kash Patel. I know General Flynn. Like, I can't tell you definitively they're in charge behind the scenes, even though I know them. I haven't had those conversations. I don't know the intel behind them, so I can't definitively say.
I'm not saying, and I'm not even saying that they're in charge. I'm just saying that there's a plan that's playing out, that it doesn't really matter who's in charge of the United States right now if you own a couple people, if you can control a couple people.
Well, yeah, of course. If
you can. And one of the key things that that brought me to this this to being able to talk about this was that Jerome Powell should have been replaced by Biden. And he wasn't. They should have replaced Jerome Powell. They should have drove the interest rates into the ground, and they should have blew up the stock market going into the 2022 elections. In theory, that's what normally would happen, right? You want the thriving economy going into the elections. They had the option to do that. They did not replace him. Since then, and before then, Judy Shelton has talked about her idea for a gold-backed cryptocurrency. She says that she can see the viability of it. So there's people that are players that aren't necessarily on the field, the coaches in the press box and stuff like that people don't really see. There are players on the field that that people see, and sometimes you're baiting people into doing a move that's going to set everything up for a big play. Sure.
Course.
And it looks to me like that's what's going to happen. Maybe I'm just being an optimist. That could be the deal. I think we have a lot of work to do as individuals to take back local government and stuff like that. But I don't believe from what I'm seeing here, as the Biden administration, right? You could not do everything. You can't go 0 for 20 when things with Russia, and they did, right? They went like 0 for 20, like dealing with Russia and the whole invasion, right? All they're doing is pumping money into Ukraine. And guess what happens? FTX happened. And that, I mean, you can't mess up everything. So as I'm seeing this play out, I have a little I have a little bit more hope that there are people in control. I have the hope that the request for Biden to be the Democrat candidate was there for a reason. I know the level of blackmail is insane. The ability to be able to manipulate him seems very possible, to be able to dictate what he does, to be able to handle control. And you're slowly moving these people out, right? At the same time, you're having people do things where they get caught, they're exposed, right? People that are falling for traps. There's a lot of people being exposed. Like you said, the lady who took the money, you know, in the Arizona election. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
and then we got exposed with the Twitter files with the acting governor of Arizona right now telling big tech to sequester her opposite opponent and you know, not allowing their side to have free speech on Twitter and big tech. So like, you see this. I will say this, what you're saying could possibly happen. I love your optimism. I try to be hopeful. You know, it's sometimes hard when what you see in the natural is our country is almost on the brink of failure. We have communism taking over. Like, it's hard. It's hard to be
In the end, you need to see it go down like this because you have to respect what was originally planned.
True. But at the same time, that's not for us, we the people, to sit back and do nothing and be like, oh, there's things going behind the scenes, because maybe John's wrong. Maybe there's nothing going on behind the scenes. But even if it is, it's what I know from General Flynn, Kash Patel, Eric Trump, what they always tell you is you have to get involved on a local level. You right. have to. If you don't get involved on a local level, then for sure they're going to win. For sure the other side's going to win. You have to do something. I don't care if it's a bumper sticker on your car, buying a billboard ad, just saying no with your voice when they come out with things like we just talked about with COVID and different things like that. I honestly would love to see more people get involved in the legislative district meetings that happens once a month. So go find out from the Secretary of State's office or your state legislator what district you belong in. And then find out when they meet and start going to those meetings, getting involved in the school board. There's so much we can do, but We're just tired because we're hardworking American people who want to take care of our family. And with the rate of inflation, we're having to work more, get more jobs just to put food on the table and electricity. Just a week ago, over a million people in the East Coast and the Midwest lost power because of the storm. So, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, those are things that take away our fight because we have to take care of our here and now with our family. And being in minus 20 degree weather, that's a big deal. So you take your family and you take care of them, and then you're exhausted. But mm-hmm. you have to do something. Otherwise, it's all for nothing.
So one of the big things that I think is going to happen in the future, and I want to see happen, that's why I brought it up to Kevin at the meeting that we were at, was the blockchain voting and the app that you would do that on, right? That you could be able to see it on, that would be interactive with you. Because in this, the idea behind this app is that you'll put in like you'll register, right? And then wherever you register at, people will have access to you, right? You'll be able to, they'll be able to, if I'm running in like North Peoria here, whoever's in the district, I can put out an announcement, a statement, or maybe do a live stream, and boom, it will just go right to their phones as, hey, the guy running in your district is coming up. Would you like to listen to him? And then that would be able to give people a platform without having super PAC money to be able to get the best candidates in for our citizenry. So
I liked Mark Fincham and his ideas for our election, and that's why I wanted him to win. And that's why they attacked him so much, because that was going to destroy or dent their thousand cuts of death into our election process if what he wanted to put in place in Arizona actually happened. It was going to be even harder for them to cheat. And so my whole thing is, I want you to be hopeful that things, you know, good things could come. But just because you may think something's at work doesn't mean you just sit back and do nothing. You have to get involved. And just because our elections are captured doesn't mean we can't have an anomaly like 2016. You never know. People died for your right to vote. God gave you the right to vote. Don't just give them an automatic win. Let them fight for the cheat. And then when you fight for the cheat enough, things get exposed. So we're actually kind of helping ourselves, even though it's frustrating when you have election day and you get the results and your team lost because, we know why they lost. We expect the loss, but
we just found out yesterday
about this $25,000 that this lady got, and she's disappeared. No one can find her. So things like that happen, and then that slowly starts crumbling their abilities to cheat. It starts crumbling.
There's a series of things that we talk about now, right? From COVID to many other things along that line, like the initial things that happened with Russia. You're talking about cryptocurrency now. A year ago, you probably wouldn't have been.
No.
Right. And so even though some of the things I'm talking about haven't made it to the surface yet, people will call them conspiracy theories. Well, currently, one of the trending memes out there is, it only takes 6 months for a conspiracy theory.
That's right. All mine came true so far. So your conspiracies are great. I can take that. We already know the digital currency is here, CBDC. Okay, we already know that.
November 23rd, the pilot program was launched out of the New York Fed with Chase in the four or five big banks.
And you said Chase, right? And what just happened with Fox, the news article with Chase? They were helping fund Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
Get your money out of Chase. They are using your money against you. You don't need Chase. I say go somewhere else, but that's just me. So we know this is a thing.
You should go local. You should be at a some kind of credit union or something like that.
That's what I think.
But what they're going to do, and what more than likely is going to happen, I don't know if you read the white paper for the CBDC. The white paper came out a week or two after Putin went into Ukraine. And this is when they launched the white paper for the CBDC. And mind you, in my Discord group, everybody says that I'm insane, that this quote, that the CBDCs won't be here for 10 years.
Not true.
The white paper comes out. I say it's going to be here by the end of the year. And the white paper alluded to these things. It alluded to us needing a central bank digital currency for the reason of national security.
But
they specifically cited China. Now, China has a CBDC right now.
Right.
And their CBDC can only be spent, I believe, on 3,000 things. I cannot find out for sure that it was only things made in China, but I can assume that that's a reasonable theory. And the thing that I think they're going to use the CBDC for here, and I think it is going to go live to the public, I think the reason that it's in the four or five big banks is because the white paper, the back end of the white paper said that we really need this because of the fact that we need to be able to distribute funds to the public in a fast and orderly manner in a crisis situation. Now, during COVID and during the COVID payments and the unemployment, it was a hot mess with who was getting money, where it was coming from, the PPP loans. All this stuff was a hot mess. And I said to my friend who isn't involved in any of this stuff, and he has a couple businesses, I go, they're going to use this particular mess that they made with giving dead people money, not giving people money that they said was coming, and then four different ways of getting there. They're going to use this, and they're going to cite this as the reason they need a central bank digital currency.
And boom.
So, and I did. Boom, there it is. Now, what I think when you see it publicly, it may not even have any, it might not come out as a CBDC. It might just be described as a dollar, a digital dollar to you. But I think how we're going to see this and the form that it's going to enter our markets in is during hyperinflation. I made a thesis last year to my group that as soon as Russia went into Ukraine, that the Fed cannot back off the interest rates. They have to keep going all the way up to at least 5, maybe 5.5, and now people are talking 7. And I go, they may be able to pull back a little bit, but they're not going back to zero because of the threat of the gold standard, and well, they're calling it the precious metal standard out in the East. They're looking at making an international trade settlement with the BRICS nations that you, I think right. We talked about that. And that would be settled probably more than likely on a cryptocurrency that's open source and decentralized backed by precious metals. So they're going to be able to do international trade without a dollar very easily now because of this technology. Mm-hmm. And so we can't back off the interest rates. And what we're doing here by not backing off the interest rates also is forcing the ECB to go higher too in a situation where they're printing money or doing price caps in Europe. People don't know this right now, but they're doing price caps on energy, right? And when you start doing price caps on things, that's historically is right before you have hyperinflation. So the hyperinflation scenario is on the table. It's coming around. I think we'll have deflation first. Our response to deflation will end up producing hyperinflation, and then we'll be pumping the money in this way through the CBDCs.
Which I think right now is a good time to get some gold and silver. And if that is you, I work with a gentleman at EPS Wealth Management, and you can go to epswealthmanagement.com. The links are in the description, or iloveeps.com. And we can get you some gold and silver, because what happens when they collapse the dollar, there might be a transition period. And on my Rumble channel, I hope you'll go catch that. I did some video clips of the CDC, CBDC, and there was a financial expert that got on, and he said what he predicts will happen is overnight they're going to close your banks, they're going to take everything, and they're going to say for some kind of excuse, and then boom, everyone's going to be on digital currency. So I don't know.
If you want to
check out that video and see what it's like.
If you want to see all of that, they did it in Cyprus. I believe it was 2011 or 2013. You'd have to look it up. They closed the banks in Cyprus and only allowed them to get a certain amount of money per day, like $20.
And it's funny because the X-Files has the same scenario that they said as this financial expert. So you got to watch that video if you're really... If this is the first time you're hearing any of this, go catch that. It's on my Rumble channel, or most of my channels, actually, but definitely on my Rumble channel. John, it's been so much fun talking to you. We'll have to have you back on. I appreciate your insight. I'm glad that you're hopeful that things will turn around. I honestly do think God's hand is in this somehow, some way. God is going to intervene and take us out of this oppression that we've been under for so long with a fake government. I really do, because of who God has put me around and the realms he has put me in. And he gave me this platform. So I know something, God's hand is working somehow, some way. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm hopeful in that area that, you know, I know that I'm not just here for any reason. it wasn't just coincidence. I meet the people that I met. I'm in the circles that I'm in. It's not a coincidence. So God's doing something. And I love that your messages of hope, because my messages of hope too. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. I don't want to keep you anymore, but we'll have to have you back on. I appreciate you so much.
All right. You have a great day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.